My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. We see it daily in the media, in the headlines. Why do we choose to live in a world of pain, suffering, and chaos? Why are we here, and what is our purpose? And can we move beyond fear to a life of love? Joining us tonight to address these questions and much, much more is world-renowned spiritual medium and number one New York Times bestselling author James von Prague. James is a survival evidence medium with more than 30 years of experience providing evidential proof of life after death via highly detailed messages from the spirit realm. A regular guest on national radio and television shows, including Oprah, The View, and 48 Hours, James was the creator and executive producer of CBS Television's long-running hit series, The Ghost Whisperer. Recently, he launched the James von Prague School of Mystical Arts, an online academy where students can explore a wide range of spiritual topics from mindfulness to mediumship. And you'll find out more about this and all of James' work by visiting www.vonprague.com, and that's spelled VanPraagh.com. Tonight, he joins us to discuss his latest book, The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness. It's my pleasure and honor to welcome Mr. James von Prague. Good evening, James.
Good evening, Victor. Thank you very much for that lovely introduction. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, I had the joy of interviewing you for Sandy Sedgbeer's show a few weeks back, and tonight I have the renewed pleasure of introducing you to the Destination Unlimited audience. So welcome back.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I just want to share with our listeners, those out in California and then those here on the East Coast, that this coming Friday, James is going to be appearing at the Legends of Golf Club in Temecula, California. That's at 7:30 p.m. A week from tonight, Wednesday, March 8th, he's going to be appearing 7:30 p.m. at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. And then for the weekend of March 10th through 12th, James will be at the Kripalu Center in Massachusetts. So if you have an opportunity to attend any of these sessions with James, please do. I've got to share a story real fast that I had shared with James the last time I spoke with him, and something that I think you'll find amazing if you attend one of his sessions. My wife, Lori Sue, and I had the pleasure of witnessing James' amazing abilities at the Manhattan Center Hammerstein Ballroom about 15 or 16 years ago. It was a capacity crowd of about 2,000 people, and you were bringing wonderful messages through for random members of the audience. Now, my wife and I both have the gift of being able to see and sense energy, and every time you brought a message through, I saw something happening around you, and after the event, I said to my wife, did she see anything? And she said, yeah. And I said, don't tell me, just write it down so we can compare notes. And I wrote it down and we swapped notes, and no surprise, we witnessed the same thing. And that's every time you started to connect with spirit, a beautiful purple-colored field appeared around you. And then as you were communicating the messages, there were like beautiful golden sparks filling the field. And each time you stopped, the field would close and reopen when you started again. And it was truly a blessing for my wife and I to witness this. And for any of you who have an opportunity to see James, if you see energy or sense energy, please go check him out at those venues that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and have an opportunity to witness this wonderful, wonderful man working.
Well, thank you, Victor. I just want to tell you, I think I told you last time, that that just validates several people come up to me over the years. Several people, I'd say, let's say under 20, have come up to me after a demonstration. They said the same thing. They've seen beautiful purple colors around me and gold lights when messages come through. So that's just validation for you.
Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful.
Yes.
You know, it's so great when you do this work, the work that you do and the work that others do, to have that kind of validation from others. And it just brings a more intense meaning to everything that's going on. It's so important in our world today.
What? Yeah, it's also because people who do this work or in this field, different field, the way they first get started, they feel kind of like by themselves, isolated and solitary, and who else understands this? Am I going crazy? It's just about me. And soon you find out that a lot of people have the same experiences.
Absolutely. And because we're welcoming you to Destination Unlimited for the first time, we always ask our guests to share their path and where it all began for them. So please tell our listeners how all of this started for you.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm 58 years old, so when I was a little boy, about 2 years of age, around there, my parents put me into the crib to go to sleep at night, and I remember very clearly that I wanted to be in the living room with them. I was crying. I wanted to be there. And I would always see this man standing in the corner of this room, and he had white hair, and he was playing with some kind of a toy, and I was fascinated by this toy. And years later, probably 8 years old, my grandmother was going through a photograph album, and I said, "Stop, there's a picture of that man. I know him. He used to come to the bedroom when I was a young little boy." And she said, "Oh, that's your grandfather who died before you were born." Mm. So that's the first experience I had. And then after that, I would say in first grade, I went up to my teacher, and I told her that her son broke his leg. And she didn't understand what I was saying. I said, "I know this. It's true." And she said, "Go back to your seat." And several minutes later, the principal came in and called us, a lay teacher, out of the room to speak with her. She then came back to the room, and she asked me to come and speak with her and said, "How did you know that?" My son was playing soccer, and the ball went into the street, and he chased it, and he was hit by a car, but he just broke his leg. He's okay. And I started crying my eyes out because I thought, wow, I had that thought, and I made that happen because I had the thought. And she said something to me, which I guess how you address a six-year-old, you know, God gives certain people certain abilities, and maybe one day you'll use them to help people. So I remember that she said something just like that. And those were my first experiences. And probably around, I used to see spirit around people. I'd see lights and colors around people, as you mentioned earlier yourself. And I remember one day, I was saying prayers, go to sleep. My mom was next to me. And we're kneeling down by the bed, and I said, "Mommy, who are all those people at the end of the bed with the lights around them?" And she said, "Oh, those are God's angels. I used to see them too when I was a little girl. They'll always protect you." So that was kind of the very beginning when I was a child. And then fast forward to, I'd say, my teenage years, didn't really see anything, didn't really pay attention to that. In my early 20s, I started going through a meditation process, not knowing how to meditate, but just would practice a word or a vision of a rose. And I found that after I finished meditating, I began to see colors and lights around people and spirit like I did as a child. So it came back that way. And then I was recognized by a British medium who did a reading with me. And he said, "You're going to work as a medium yourself." And I didn't necessarily believe in him because I'm a cynical New Yorker. And I was like, "What is this guy talking about?" And 2 years later to the day, I started to speak with spirit, communicate with spirit very clearly. And that was when I was around 26, 25 years old.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting the fact that your mother confirmed for you that she had similar experiences. And what we find a lot is these abilities do run in families.
Oh, very much so. It's genetic. There's definitely a genetic link within all of them, generation to generation to generation. And my grandmother, on my father's side, used to read tea leaves just to the family members. It was just a natural thing. And my grandfather, on my mother's side, he was very psychic. And they didn't call it psychic in those days, in the 1940s. They'd call it like a knowingness. And he would often say to his wife something like, "You better put another place at the table because we're going to have a visitor for dinner." And she would just go ahead and do that. And at 5:15, when they're just about to sit down, a neighbor would come and say hello, and they invite him for dinner. So those things were very natural in the family, it seems.
And it's wonderful that when you brought that information to your teacher about her son, that rather than dismiss you and make you wrong, she actually encouraged you to develop and to move forward with the gift.
Yeah, and I think that's where we look back and say, well, there's definitely some destiny there. There's some soul planning, and she was obviously meant to be my teacher because it was a Catholic school, and if I had a nun for a homeroom teacher, the scenario might be a little different. So I just think there's certain people in our lives, of course, that guide us, guideposts, if you will, who help us to move on with our journey, and she was definitely one of them for sure.
Absolutely. You know, the whole concept of synchronicity, that when you find yourself on a path of any kind of spiritual nature, that when you're open to the path, the right teachers will show up for you and start bringing you the messages, which you can choose to listen to or not listen to. And if something resonates with you, you move on and follow it. And if it doesn't resonate, you let it go. And that's how we develop on our spiritual paths.
Exactly right, 100%. Exactly right. And I guess the secret is to remain open, you know, not get into that earth mind of limitation and judgment, but just going with the flow, being open to whatever happens, and being aware, being awake, I guess you would say, not asleep.
Absolutely. And the other part about it is that, you know, when for those who are listening tonight to our show, if you have a child who has been demonstrating something unusual, has been saying things that they're bringing to you that you don't see or you don't sense, don't deny them, encourage them, listen to them, and lovingly accept that they may be doing something very, very special, and encourage them, bring them along.
Yeah, very true. I mean, that's what a parental role should be, to help guide them. And I just like you, I believe there are no accidents, and coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And I think that when we have those souls in our lives, children, even friends, and we see that ability or certain abilities within them, innate abilities, it is up to us to help them, to encourage them, to help them move on. I wrote a book called Looking Beyond many, many years ago, because many parents come up to me and say, my child is seeing things or hearing things, and what can I do? So I wrote this book, Looking Beyond, to help parents to understand how to treat the child, how to become aware of the knowledge of communication or psychic abilities.
Absolutely. I think that is so important for parents to truly encourage their children to grow in whatever gift they manifest, be it art, be it musical yeah. ability, be it scientific ability, whatever the ability is, encourage yeah. it, foster it, help it grow within the child, because that's the child's motivation. That's what the child is here to do.
Right. That's the fuel. And I just want to share quickly, because I love how we just speak, we get spontaneous, which I love.
Yep.
The creative force, that energy, you know, I think people have the mediumship. I said, well, everybody's a medium in their own right. So an accountant, a psychologist, a scientist are mediums also. It is that same life force, that creative force, and using it in a different way. But it's still that one, if you will, the God force, the creative force, is the same within every single person. But that how it expresses itself in individual souls is different, perhaps.
Absolutely. My guest is James von Prague. His brand new book is called The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness. And we'll be back with James and more of this wonderful discussion after these messages on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, James von Prague, and we're talking about his new book, The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness. So, James, you're considered or called an evidential medium. What does that actually mean?
An evidential medium is a person who is able to communicate with the higher realms of the spirit world or other dimensions. And really the job of an evidential medium is not only to bring through the spirit, but provide evidential details, proof of that the consciousness survives death, that there's no such thing as death, by the information that the spirit people provide, such as names or addresses or life experiences that the person received in the reading will understand. So it's really proof of life after death, proof of the consciousness surviving.
Now, when you start getting the messages from spirit to deliver to the living, how does that process manifest for you? Can you describe it for us?
Sure. It's an interesting thing because we as human beings look at communication a certain way. But when you come from a different dimension, whether it's, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh dimension, communication is very different. They're not in the physical. So really the closest thing we have is thought. So the spirit, what happens is the soul is, the mind's the soul is the mind, and the mind continues on. The brain dies a physical death, but the mind, of course, continues. And when I work as a medium, what I'm doing is I'm raising my frequency, opening up my mind, and the spirit people will, from their dimension, they're in the dimension of thought, they have to slow down their vibration, their frequency, so they do that with their thought. I'm going to slow myself down, and it lowers them to a level that then they get at a certain level close to me, and they project a thought, a feeling, a memory into my mind. So it's really mind-to-mind communication. So you could say it's kind of telepathic. And so I receive these thoughts telepathically, and along with the thought comes an emotion, so I get a feeling, and also get sometimes a physical description that they'll project into my mind, like a picture, clairvoyantly, of seeing. So I'll see the description of them, perhaps I'll see them in a memory, they'll send memories to me, and I really relate that to the recipient. And it's an overwhelming feeling of not only the thought, the personality, and the feeling all at once. So it's a multi-feeling, sensory experience, if you will. And it's my job to be as open as possible to bring through that person or those people there. And it's almost like I'm painting a portrait of the spirit. And I have to paint it just specifically that the person understands who it is.
Now,
it's an overwhelming feeling.
You say the people, so they will sometimes come in groups. Is it difficult for you to filter through the different messages that are coming for the one person?
Well, that's a great question, Victor, and that comes with many years of development and discernment and how to open up your mind and surrender to the spirit person. Many times there'll be a group come to you, but there's one person, one spirit, who kind of open up the door and open up that space, and that the rest of them can come through as well. And sometimes I found, which is really interesting, is that three or four spirits will come there, and they will send one thought together. I call it mind melding. So they'll send one particular thought, and they send it into my mind, and I give it out. And I know it's coming from four distinct souls who have come together as one. So that's very interesting when that happens as well.
Absolutely, that's fascinating. And do you find that if you're not physically present with the person that you're bringing the messages through for, that you can still have that same connection?
Well, again, very interesting work, processing mediumship, because it's a really interesting experience. When I teach my students in my school, they often have trouble because they want exact detail, black and white, and they really want to get the evidence and details and details and details. And I say to them, you can't try so hard, because if you try too hard, you're going to block the energy. It's a very subtle energy that comes in. And I also describe it as a passive activism. You have to remain passive and surrender your mind, open it to a point, and let them come through and surrender those feelings and the subtle energy, and at the same time be aware of what's happening so you're able to be present in the space and bring through the information. So it is kind of a back and forth. You have to open and surrender and be sensitive, but yet you have to be aware of what's happening.
You know, we talk about fact and detail being a left brain function, and then the subtle and the etheric senses as being a right brain function. How do you, when you do your teaching to these students, how do you get them to sort of balance that for themselves?
Well, many of the students have that situation happening, and they'll be just lost in the ethers. And I say, well, what it really is about is integration. You have to integrate, which means I teach them a lot of grounding work, connecting to yourself, being present in the body, but being aware that you're connected to Mother Earth, Father Sky, and that you're very aware, you're mindful of your state, you're mindful of the presence that you're at right there. So that's very important. So I teach them about grounding, running their energy, and integration. That's a big part of, I think, of a successful medium.
And how important is meditation to this work?
Meditation is a tool, a very good tool, important tool, for many different reasons. But in mediumship, when we first start sitting in a meditative state, really what you're doing is just opening up that higher frequency. And in a way, you're getting the human brain or the human mind out of the way, the critical mind out of the way, left brain to the side, and you're opening up that subtlety. So in a meditative state, you're on a certain level, and it's easier for you to receive the information. So putting yourself in that meditative state or a mindful state is, for me, it's very important because you can't get in the human brain and block things. It comes in nicely, and you're aware of it.
And what meditation techniques do you recommend to your students?
Well, I always work with the breath. So I work with the breath, and I do it many different ones, but very similar in that I have them become aware of the body, be mindful of the body, the feet, the legs, the whole part of the body. And then I do a visualization where I have them just breathe in the beautiful light, a golden light, and breathe into the entire body, to surrounding every cell, every organ, every muscle, this beautiful light. And as you exhale, let go, just send out a thought of letting go of any energies that are limiting you, that's holding you back, any fear, and breathe that out. So breathing in through the nostrils, breathing in golden, beautiful light, and breathing out, exhaling out of your mouth, any limited energy, any old energy. So we get to a place of neutrality and balance, and then they're able to open up to that state of mediumship.
That's beautiful. Now, as a master medium, as someone who is so open and proficient in this way, do you find that you have to shut yourself off from time to time?
Yes. What happens is when you learn to do mediumship, or how I learned in developing, was to open up your chakra points, the energy system of the body, when you're working. And it's very much like turning on a radio. And you turn on the radio and you tune into a station. Same thing with mediumship. For me, I become aware of the mindset that I have before a reading, before a demonstration. And I then will sit in by myself for 5 to 10 minutes, and I will open myself up, I'll open up the mind, turn on that radio, and become aware that I'm a soul having a human experience, and that my soul is way beyond the physical body, and I connect the guides and the teachers, and I welcome them into my space, into the atmosphere around me. And that's how I open up and begin to receive. Now, at the end of the readings or the sessions, what I'll do is I'll close down, and I do it through a thought. Well, I will imagine sometimes there's a curtain coming around, or light bulbs are turning off in the chakra points. And I take away the awareness, if you will, the awareness of opening up, and I just go back to the human mind. And that's a safe way, because if someone is constantly open all the time, they're opening themselves up to burning out because you're using the adrenals and the endocrine system, and you have to be very, very careful because you'll burn out. It's like if you had a ceiling fan on for a long time and you never shut it down, the motor would eventually burn out. So there's got to be a balance when you do the work, any type of work, really energetic work. There's got to be a certain balance that you are aware of and that you keep disciplined.
Do you ever get any 911 calls from Spirit?
Concern, definitely some concern comes through. Warnings to a point, because remember, they can't get in the way of a soul's karmic blueprint. Mm-hmm. They can help. The spirit people cannot live your life for you, but they can certainly give you hints or help you in practical ways to guide you, but they can't do the work for you. So they have come through with, I guess you would say, warnings or just insights into certain experiences or situations that soul can learn from. So again, they can't give the answers to the test, but they can certainly help you.
So Spirit will not get involved in anything that would interfere with a person's free will and their own karmic path.
That's exactly right, because they love us that much, they realize that this is an experience of the souls, and they told them, you know, this is our schoolroom down here, and as souls, you come back and learn many different lessons in order to expand and evolve. And if the spirit was going to tell people the answers to the test, they would never evolve, they would never learn that. So it really is for the expansion and the strength of learning of that soul on the earth. And they love us and they encourage us as best as they can, but it's up to us to take the test.
Can you give us an example of one of the most beautiful messages you've ever brought through for someone?
Well, yes. There's so many over the old years, many, many. But I remember one in particular. It was so beautiful. It was a gentleman who passed over, and he came back to his wife. And I would say he was over there about 15 to 16 years. And he came through. He showed me a beautiful vision where he was, and he wanted to relay that to his wife. And he said, well, he showed me showed me this beautiful garden. And this beautiful garden had, flowers, plant life, something we don't have here on the earth. The colors are just vibrant. The structure of the plants, beautiful. Beyond certain words we even have in the human vocabulary. And he showed me something. He said, I want you to show and tell my wife that this flower is our love and how much I've missed her all these years. And he actually showed me his backyard, and he put like a watering can on his flower, and it grew. It grew like Jack and the Beanstalk, all these beautiful flowers coming out, and the colors were dazzling. And it went higher and higher and higher with Jack and the Beanstalk. And he said, this expresses the amount of love I have for my wife. And when she comes here, we will be in this world together. So that was beautiful.
Wow, that is so touching.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
That is so beautiful.
It's hard to pick one story because there's so many beautiful stories. That's just one of hundreds of thousands, I guess, by now at this point. But you know, love is the strongest force there is. Love never dies. And when they can express that love, whether it's visually, emotionally, it's incredible. It's incredible. That's what I love being a medium, because I am able to bring through that force, that energy, and I'm the recipient of that. I love mediumship.
My wonderful guest, James von Prague, his new book, The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness. James, please tell our listeners how they can find out more about the book and about you and the wonderful work that you do.
Sure, thank you. I have a website, which is www.vanprague.com, and I have a Facebook page, James von Prague Public Figure Facebook page. Like, I think it's 500,000 people, something like that. And then there's also the James von Prague School of Mystical Arts, where I teach many classes in meditation, mindfulness, psychic ability, intuition, and mediumship. So those are ways people can get in touch with me.
And we'll be back with more of James von Prague and The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness, after these messages from the OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest tonight, James von Prague, talking about his new book, the power of love connecting to the oneness. So, James, in the beginning of the show, I mentioned that for our listeners who are going to be in the California and also on the East Coast areas coming this coming week, this Friday at 7:30 p.m., you're going to be appearing at the Legends of Golf Club in Temecula, California.
I know. Sounds very strange, doesn't it?
What's that? the Legends of Golf? Yeah, I guess. Unless you start bringing through some of the Legends of Golf, maybe that'd be an interesting experience, you know, just maybe walk on the stage with a putter or something. And, you know,
There you go. Yes.
You start channeling some of the greats who have gone to the other side. Well, playing in the great green in the sky. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that event is a lady who was Melissa Kushner, and she was a student of mine in one of my courses, and she brings mediums from England over to the United States, California in this regard. And so this demonstration, she asked me to do it with this wonderful, wonderful teacher named Paul Jacobs, who's very respected in the UK and teaches at the Arthur Finley College, which is it's almost like the Hogwarts for mediums.
Yes.
And he's a very, very respected teacher of mediumship. And I've done work with Paul before. I just did an event with him in Hanover, Germany on Halloween. And it was very fun. He's a Capricorn man like yourself, mm-hmm. Very down to earth, very real. And when the two of us get on stage, it is just a wonderful dance. You know, it's just great how we work together. So that's next in California at the golf course. Yes.
Right. So that's this coming Friday at 7:30 at the Legends of Golf Club. That's Friday. That's March the 5th. And then I'm sorry, not March the 5th. It's Friday is the 3rd. And then a week from tonight, March 8th, Wednesday, March 8th, for those of us here on the East Coast, you're going to be at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey, a wonderful venue. And that show is starting at 7:30. And then you'll be doing a whole weekend up at Kripalu Center up in Massachusetts, March 10th through 12th. So for those of you who have the opportunity to attend any of these, and especially that weekend with James, that unfortunately, I'm not going to be around. I would have come for that weekend, but my wife and I are going to be in Virginia for a wedding that weekend, so unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be there.
Another time.
Absolutely. The next time you come and do one of those sessions at Kripalu or one of those
or
sessions.
Omega Institute.
Or
yeah.
Omega Institute. Omega. And Rhinebeck. Absolutely. The next time you're around, I have to attend.
Great.
So we're talking about your new book, The Power of Love. What inspired you to write the new book?
Well, I never write a book just to write a book. It's funny because a lot of people will ask me, well, what's your next book? And I say, I don't know what my next book is. It's really, I just obviously channel the information. And in this case, The Power of Love, it's so interesting because it came to me through, I was sitting in a development circle, which is a meditation circle, and I had these beings around me, these guides and teachers, and they were different than my usual guides and teachers that I'm used to. And they said they're from the council, the Love Council. I said, the Love Council? I said, yes, we're going to help you with your next book. This message needs to get out. And I said, okay. And what happened was really just sessions of channeling, and they brought through this energy of love, this force of love, and they... You know, it's so interesting, Victor, because, as I mentioned earlier, they're in a different dimension. And I can tell that dimension is so expansive and open. And when they come down to the vessel, the human being, the third-dimensional world, they really got to slow it down and really limit what comes through so I can pick it up very quickly. But I can tell the difference in the energy. But it's really a book about the energy of love, that they often say that, you know, the energy is all around us. We're made from love. Our souls are love energy. And this energy is also all around us. And they would often will say, you know, why don't humans understand they can use this energy every day? Why don't they? And it's so interesting because we can have anything we want, our soul wants and desires, if we would love ourselves. Love is also this magnet. And we actually will magnetize the thoughts that we have, bring into our experience that which we want. And when you can come from a vibration of love, you can really open up anything to experience. So it's just a way of bringing that information to the humans, I say, to the humans, to remind people.
When people are in spirit, does ego cease to exist?
Well, ego, ego is still around. Ego is part of us. It is an ego. Ego can be a very good thing if it's used in the right way to motivate us to do things, to create things. But everything, of course, has to be, again, in balance and in check. And when it isn't in check, we can see what happens when it isn't in check. But the ego can be a very good thing. When we leave and go to the spirit dimensions, there's an opening or expansion of consciousness, and we go back to our true self, our soul self. I often say in the three-dimensional world, the human self, we're only 20% in the body and 80% out of the body. And when we leave this physical dimension, we open up to the higher part of ourselves, and that soul doesn't know about time. Time is only of the linear world, of this three-dimensional world. But when you're in the spirit world, you're outside of time. And you become aware of your past experiences you had on this earth, or future experiences on this earth, or other places. The earth is just one school of many, many schools. There are many planets and solar systems and star systems. And we kind of have a memory of all the experiences that our soul is going through, or will go through, when we get back home to the spirit side. So we see ourselves in a very different light, excuse the pun, but it's very true.
Absolutely. Do we keep coming back, or do we eventually join the divine and not reincarnate somewhere?
Well, I often was, again, it's hard because human concepts of things, but there is no death. There's no ending. So there's life. There's always life. And whether it's in a physical form or in a liquid form or another type of form of life, it always exists. But we as souls are always given the opportunity to come back to experience life on this planet or other planets, and it's up to our own soul's choice of what we want to do. Some people say, this is my last lifetime, I don't want to come back here. And you have that choice not to. But when you pass over to the spirit world and you look back at your life, from a spirit side point of view, 60, 70, 80, 90 years is nothing compared to eternity. It's a blink of an eye. So the soul will say, wow, I didn't realize how quick that was. And they tend to come back if they choose. Many times they come back to help people, to teach people, to enlighten people. And sometimes they come back to experience lessons to learn and karmic obligations. So we have the choice. We don't have to if we don't want to.
That's fascinating. You think about the fact that being liberated from the lower dimension, from the physical form, even though it's an important form, that to be able to fly free without, you know, the bounds of the physical form would be something that would be very enticing.
Well, you know, we can have that sense of opening and freedom if we tend to live from that, again, part of the book, Power of Love, if we tend to live from that point of love, that our soul's energy is love, and we start looking at each other as God. As I say, God and love is the same thing. So seeing that God force in somebody else and honoring that love and treating them as you want to be treated, the golden rule. And if we start doing that and being more open, it expands our awareness. And, you know, when you step out of judgment is such a limitation to the soul. It's really not part of the soul. The judgment is very much a human characteristic. And judgment is very fear-based. And I often say fear, life is a series of choices, and all choices are based on two things, either fear or love. And our natural vibration is love. So when we live that way, we're much happier, we're more liberated, more things can happen for us. But when we live in fear, we're not living in truth, we're living in judgment. That's not who we are. So we're kind of shut off from our true essence of ourselves. So the moment one starts to become aware and mindful and step away from judgment, then they really start living the truth.
When you say step away from judgment, and I think in our pure spirit form, our soul form, that's a lot easier to do than in the three-dimensional world. But when we think of someone, for example, on Earth, we think of someone who has killed someone else, committed murder, and not by accident, but deliberately killed someone. We can't really judge what that person is about because we don't know what their karma is, the karma of the person who was killed is, et cetera, et cetera. But when we then go to spirit after we leave this incarnation where that thing occurred, where that crime occurred or where that murder occurred, how do we reconcile?
Well, we see it from that soul point of view, which is that a soul came back to learn. So on this earth, there are souls from many, many different levels. So there are some souls that are called baby souls, those who don't have the awareness. They think that violence and killing and destroying and hurting people is the way to be. And then there are other souls we can call maybe postgraduate souls who are healers and light workers and come back to heal and use compassion and love. And then there are the middle souls, the ones who come back to grade school, who are learning a little bit more and they're trying to learn various things. And the whole myriad of souls and different levels. And that's what the Earth School is. The Earth School is made up of all these different levels of awareness of souls. So for one, they have not learned yet that violence is not the way, that you, when you take someone else's life, you're really hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. Because when we pass to the spirit world, again, another perspective is that we are connected as one being. That the two greatest delusions we have in the three-dimensional world, one is death, and there is no death, and the second is separativeness, that we feel separate from one another. One of the things that occurs when you get into that spiritual dimension is you have that awareness that we're connected, that we're all connected, that you are part of that person, they're part of you. And that's really interesting because you don't departmentalize when you get to that spiritual dimension. You become aware of the oneness. And that's just an aspect that the soul who did the violent act must learn that is not the way to do things. You must choose love. And there's also, of course, like you said, karmic obligations and a sense of that, that soul loving themselves. If they loved themselves, perhaps they wouldn't do things like that. So it's a learning ground down here. So that's, this is where we have all these events and situations that we can grow from.
Do souls travel in groups and families?
Yes, very much so. So I write about this in the book, and in my last book, Adventures of the Soul, where before we come back to this incarnation, we sit with our guides and our teachers, and we go through the various lessons that our soul needs to understand or learn, and we learn them with other groups, other people, other souls who have been with us in other lifetimes, where there's not only do we have a personal karmic obligation, but we might have a soul obligation with another soul, certain things we have to learn from each other. So, for instance, in another life, in this lifetime, let's say a mother loses a child. Well, maybe we don't know, but in a former lifetime, maybe that mother's soul left early and the child's soul had learned what it was like to lose a child, and now it's going to be balanced out. So we tend to come back in those soul obligations with groups, a soul family. Many people ask about a soulmate. Is there one soulmate? And I say, no, there are many soulmates. To me, a soulmate is a soul that has experienced many situations with you, many events with you, and you tend to come back together, and there tends to be an affinity of connection there. And that's what is a soulmate. So we do tend to come back in group souls. Mm-hmm.
My guest is James von Prague, the author of The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness, and we'll be back with more of The Power of Love after these messages from the OM Times Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Hello, this is Alec Baldwin for Save the Manatee Club. In an animated TV show, I was the voice of a marine biologist dedicated to saving Florida's imperiled manatees. It was a lot of fun, but there's a serious side, too. Tragically, many of these gentle marine mammals suffer injuries or die from boat strikes, and their habitat is being lost. Manatees need your help. Please call 1-800-432-JOIN or visit www.savethemanatee.org.
Since the day I stopped drinking, my life has gotten better and better. I can't take any credit for it. It just seems that without alcohol, I think better, I'm more careful with money, I watch what I say, I don't get into trouble like I did when I was drinking. It's scary trying to walk through life alone, and today I have that very distinct feeling that I don't ever have to be alone again. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, James von Prague, is the author of the book, The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness. So, James, how do we keep our hearts open in daily life when there's so much stress and chaos and intolerance and, unfortunately, now hatred in our world?
Oh, it's a crazy time to live right now. But, you know, in 2012, we're told about a Mayan calendar. Of course, there's going to be changes, a great transformation, and several different calendars, actually. And this is a transformation. So we're changing, going through transforming, for sure. And sometimes things have to come into the light to be understood and to have focus and awareness. And I think that's what's going on, that there's an evolution now of these things that people just stand up and be counted and see what they honor, what they don't honor. And do they live by truth or do they not live by fear? How do they live? So I think it's a time that a lot of us come back for to go through to help evolve this earth, this space. I think that for me, Victor, the way I've done it, becoming more aware, I have a practice of mindfulness and meditation. So each day, I started practicing it with each day having gratitude. I just have gratitude. When I wake up in the morning, I have gratitude for another day, and I thank the universe in my thoughts. And I literally will then go out into the patio or the backyard and connect the flowers, the plants. I just, that life force and it with appreciation and gratitude. And there's that sense of mindfulness, again, that I'm a soul having a human experience, not the other way around. And what is my soul going to learn today? And I can either go to the vibration of fear and upsetment and misunderstanding, or it can go to love, compassion, healing, and or somewhere in the middle. But being aware of my thoughts, being aware of how I am, how I project my thoughts, I'm also become aware that, as I mentioned earlier, that when I meet somebody, I'm immediately aware that they are that godlike. I try to think of them, even in the worst circumstances, like in Los Angeles, there's traffic, and someone yells at you. I just try to send them light or know that they're God-like, but that human part is coming out. I just try to have that sense of mindfulness and the connection to the universe and gratitude every day. And it's practice, but after a while it becomes normal. It becomes the way of life.
That's beautiful. I'll just share very quickly. I had a wonderful, wonderful spiritual teacher many years ago, and he was well into his 80s when I met him and became his student. And he used to tell a group of us that he'd wake up in the morning and he'd feel tremendous pain in his legs, and he'd raise his hands to the sky and say, "Thank you, God." And people would ask him, "Why are you thanking God that you're in pain?" He says, "Because if I didn't feel the pain, I'd be dead and I'd have nothing to do." He said, "As long as I feel that pain, I know I'm alive and I have another day that I can get accomplish things in this world." And what a wonderful lesson, huh?
Right. Amazing. It's great. And it's where you put your mind that, it's really where you put that focus that your life evolves, I believe.
Absolutely. Now, you touched upon something that many of us in the spiritual community have had the impression or idea of, and that's that many of us came back into the three-dimensional world at this time to be helpers in the chaos that's ensuing, in the pain and the suffering in this world. Do you find that a lot of us have done that?
Yes, a lot. Well, of course, you and I are in the spiritual community, so we're aware of those people there, or those souls that have come back for this type of work. But yes, it is a big time for transformation. Again, I just try to help people, don't come out of fear, come out of empowerment, that when we go through transformation, a change is not always easy. Change is, we have to step out of our paradigm, what we're used to, and also our unrealistic expectations. A lot of people tend to have unrealistic expectations, place them on other people, on other spaces, and we really shouldn't do that because no one will come up to meet that expectation. But I think a lot of us come back for this transformation, this understanding, for the awareness, without a doubt. And I think it's happening. We do.
So we're members of the Love Corps. Is that what it is? We're the members of the Love Corps.
The Love Corps, the Love Council down Earth. Yes, the Love Council on Earth.
There you go.
Because diversity, it forces you to have an understanding. It forces you. Sometimes it takes a horrible act for understanding to occur. And I think in some ways right now when we're living, it's just going to light up all those things which we don't want, and we'll really embrace what we do want.
Do you think some of the things that are occurring right now, the recent outbreak of anti-Semitism in the United States and elsewhere in the world, that these things are happening as a reminder to us that we have to become more loving and more open in this world?
So you just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, these are reminders. These are reminders for us who we are, what we hold true, what's a value, what's not a value. Remember who we are. We are loving soul beings. We're not the human. And we're all together in this. We're all one energy. There's no separation. So, we learned that in World War II. I mean, it's unbelievable. But we think we've learned it, but yet we haven't. So we'll keep on repeating things until we learn them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, in your book, The Power of Love, you suggest that people can attract health, success, and happiness through the power of love. Please explain.
So everything is energy. So people just look at everything as energy, which energy means molecules that move or vibrate at a certain speed or frequency. And the power of love, as I said earlier, it's the highest force there is. It's the quickest energy, moves the quickest. And you can, if you're in that space of love, you are, everyone is God, and God to me is creation, creativity, creating things. So you can bring into your awareness and your consciousness the success that you want, happiness that you want, health that you want. You have the power to do that, and everyone can do it. So if you sit in that space of love and you have an awareness of who you are as a soul being, you can definitely attract that with the energy of your thoughts, without a doubt.
Now, let's say that someone's been hurt either by another person or by an institution. How can they turn that hurt into love?
So that's really a good one because a lot of people have that. They say, for instance, how can I find true love in my life because I've been treated terribly before or I've been abused before or certain things have happened. And I say to people, just stop and look at how you're reacting. Is there a knee-jerk reaction to this? Are you jumping into an emotion and reacting, or are you stopping, pausing, and seeing what the bigger picture is? What's the bigger perception that you have? So if we can see things that what the people are unaware of, they've hurt us, doesn't mean we have to fall back into that hurt. And we have to try to have compassion and understanding that these souls are, again, learning, trying to understand themselves, and we have to have a lesson for ourselves, too, is how compassionate can we be? How much understanding can we be? And we have. So it's a lesson for us as well. People talk also about having fear, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. If we're living in present moment, if we're living in a sense of mindfulness in this space right now, there are no fears. There's just now. But when you live in the past, that's fear-based many times. You'll live the fears of the past. So fears can only live in the past, not in the present moment. So that's very interesting, just to be in that present moment as much as possible. And in that space, when you're in the present moment, you can, many, many people get upset when I say, are you a control freak? And they go, yes. I said, well, you have no control over other people. They'll do what they want to do. You can't do anything. But what you do have control over is how you react to a situation or people. So how people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours.
Absolutely. And what about someone who is grieving?
Summer's grieving. Grieving is an understanding that number one, that there really is no death, but there is a, you know, we are human in this space. We're human, and we have to go through those human reactions and emotions. And part of it is that physicalness that we're no longer going to have that person around us. Or grieving can also be we grieve a marriage or moving to a different location or changing jobs. There's some grief involved with that, and it's a sense of loss. But it is that is what it was, and you have to open up to new experiences. And also with death, in regards to grieving, realize that there is no death, that your loved ones are indeed around you all the time, and you'll see them again.
Absolutely. Now, your subtitle of your book is Connecting to the Oneness. How do you define oneness, and how does one connect to it?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, for me, the oneness is a life force, that source that is in every living thing. So every tree, every flower, every blade of grass, every rock, there is an energy, there is a force. And that's the same force in all of us. We're all that one energy. We're not separate from one another. So when I say tune into that oneness, that connectedness, it's just having awareness that you're connected to all things, that there's an energy that travels through everything, and that you are part of that. You're not separate from that, but you are part of that energy. That's what that means.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because many, many years ago, when I was in my mid to late 30s, when I got back on this path that I'm on now, I started taking yoga classes and also facilitating meditation. I never forget, after the first yoga class, I walked out into the street, and there was a tree that was on this block that I probably passed a million times. And I looked at that tree, and for the first time, I saw the energy glowing around that tree and fell in love with that tree. And I don't think I ever recognized that before that mindfulness, that oneness event that happened for me. It was just such a special occasion.
And this is funny, I was talking about this yesterday, same situation where if you become aware that you then become the tree, and then see from their point of view, what does the tree feel like? If you become that energy of the tree, you feel the same energy. So it's just putting yourself in that space, and you'll realize that it is the same. It's the same energy. It's not different.
Absolutely.
And the glow is great. When you can start to see that glow around everything,
absolutely. You're
seeing life force. Yeah.
Absolutely. The old Moody Blues song, with the eyes of a child, you must come out and see that your world's spinning round, and through life you will be a small part of a whole of a love that exists. With the eyes of a child, you will see. Beautiful, beautiful lyric.
Wow. Yes. I love the Moody Blues.
Me too. Favorite group. Yes. So what do you hope your readers will take away from your book?
I just hope it is a guidebook for them to start living their life in love instead of fear. And having a relationship with themselves first, and remembering that they are love, that they're a soul having a human experience, and a soul's energy is loving energy, and to treat each other with that same respect and that love, and realize that we're all connected. We're not separate from one another. We are connected. And I often say, and through the book, and how what I hope to accomplish with this, is to have people treat each other as God and respect each other. So now's the time for love, not fear.
What a gift and what love from our guest tonight, James von Prague. James, please tell our listeners one more time where they can find out about your book and more about you and this wonderful work that you do.
Sure. They can go to my website, which is www.vanprague.com, which is V-A-N-P-R-A-A-G-H. And my Facebook page, James von Prague, it's 500,000 people. I know that's all I can distinguish it. And then also I have a great school page, that JVP School of Mystical Arts. And that's a great school for people to go online. It's an online school to learn and expand.
And we mentioned James' upcoming experiences in the next week or so, and you can find all of that on his website on prog.com. James, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Victor.
What a joy.
Thank you so much for having me. Back after. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks for joining us tonight on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.